teaches Abraham a journey of faith. A journey of faith. Realize that there's always a difference between people who know about God and people who know God. There's always a difference. There's always a difference. There's always a difference between people who know about God and people who know God. You ask someone, anybody can tell you what they know. Anybody can tell you what they mean. Oh, I've read about God before. Yeah, he did this in the Bible. He did that. He did this. He did this. Oh, I've seen what he can do in miracles, with signs. I've seen what he can do. Oh, I know. I have knowledge about God. But there's also different people who know God. They know God. And most of the time, we know about God from what we have heard, what we have seen. But we know God from what we have experienced. Hallelujah. There's a difference between people who know about God and people who know God. We know God through people's experiences, people's testimony, through people's through what they've written, through the Bible we read, and we know that the things God did, and we know about God. Growing up, they taught us about God. But then the difference between knowing about God and knowing God is personal experiences. And that's where this thing comes. The difference between knowing about God and knowing God, your journey is the one that sets you apart from those who know about God and those who know God. It's your journey. It's your journey. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Someone say, my journey. My journey. That's what separates you. That's what makes you stand out. That's the thing that is kind of weighty in your life. Yes, with regards to the things of God. It's your journey. It's your journey. Let's look at Genesis chapter 12. There's 1 to 3. Genesis chapter 12 is 1 to 3. So it says, now the Lord had said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I'll curse those who curse you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Hallelujah. The Bible says, so Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. You know the backstory. Abraham's father, Terah, took him to their way to Canaan. For what reason, we don't know. And they came to Haran, they settled there, and Abraham's father died there. And the Lord spoke to Abraham. The Lord spoke to Abraham. And this is the Lord speaking to Abraham. Before then, he has not heard the voice of God. He had just heard about what the things God has done in the life of Noah. And in the times past, and so he hears this voice speaking to him. This, we see this as the genesis of Abraham's journey in the Lord, his journey of faith. We see this as the genesis. And most of the time, when people are journeying in the Lord, when people are walking with God, it always starts with something like this. It starts with a voice, it starts with a promise, it starts with a charge, it starts with an anointing. It starts with an inclination, a calling. Hallelujah. So you see that when Elijah was calling Elisha, he threw his mantle on him. It's a form of an anointing. He threw his mantle on him. And you see Elisha burning. You know, when Elijah met him, he was tilling ground with 12 yoke of oxen. You see Elijah sacrifice the oxen, burn the yokes, and sit on the chain. Journey of faith. Hallelujah. Because of that activity, you see God speak to Abraham, and Abraham leaves his father's house, going for a land that he doesn't know. God is the one who is leading. Hallelujah. We see Moses, when he came of age, he saw how the Egyptians treated his brethren, the Hebrew. There was something inside of him. That's what I refer to as a calling. There was something inside of him that was not settled with what was going on. And so he retaliated. It was a calling. After that, he fled. Hallelujah.
So many examples.
You see David, after his anointing, went to the wilderness and he was like, he was a different man.
The bear came, he killed the bear.
Lion came, he killed the lion. All in the wilderness.
Look at your life. Everybody, every man, every person that has walked with the Lord, has walked this walk of faith with the Lord, has a Genesis.
Those have something to reflect
on this day, or this time, or when I was this year old. The Lord spoke to me, or I had a calling.
I just felt something on the inside of me at this year's old. Last month, I was at the 40th anniversary of the International Central Gospel Church, and the General Overseer, Dr. Mensa Altabo, was talking about how he knew on one evening, one dawn, in his room, I think when he was 13, 14 years, how he just knew that he has to do the work of ministry. He just knew that he has to do the work of God. No one told him, no one prophesied to him, no one came and said you'll be a pastor in future. He just knew within him that he'll do the work of the Lord. 13 years, he just knew. In his room, he just knew that this is what I will do with my life. I share with you that after university, I was on a path into the mines and everything. And the Lord spoke to me, he told me to go do missionary. It was like a total deviation from my life, what I had planned my life, how I structured. A few years before that, I had written a 10-year plan. 10-year plan. How Daniel will be in the next 10 years. What I foresee for my future. And I realized that I've gone off that plan. I've really deviated from that plan because I didn't think I'll be in this place in this time.
I didn't think I'll be in this place in this time. Hallelujah. So the journey of faith begins with a promise, with a word, with a prophecy, with an anointing or a calling.
Anointing and calling.
God begins that journey. And God takes you through that journey.
He is the leader of that journey.
Our journey of faith, God is the one who is leading us. Amen. Are we together? God is the one who is leading us. We are not leading ourselves.
God is the one who's leading us.
Most of the time, God, because he is leading us, he doesn't tell us everything.
He doesn't tell us everything.
The things we are going to encounter, he doesn't tell us. Sometimes the promise seems so beautiful, but then the things you encounter on the journey, it doesn't seem like this was a promise. Look at the life of Joseph, Jacob's son. Look at the life of Joseph. He has a dream, beautiful dream. God is going to take him to a place of kingship, a place where people will bow down to him. People will bow down to him as kingship. Should God have shown him the whole journey, he would have rejected that. You have rejected that. God showed him this promise, this future, this thing about what took him there. What made him into that person was the journey. Hallelujah. And so I just have some few things that I want to point out about the journey of faith, and with reference to the life of Abraham. Hallelujah. The first thing is that God protects you on the path
on this journey. This journey, God protects you.
Hallelujah. God protects you on this path. Let's look at Genesis chapter 12, verse 17. Genesis 12, verse 17. Abraham has not traveled so far with the Lord. It says, but the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. And Pharaoh called and said, what is this you have done to me? Why did you not tell me that she was your wife? Why did you say she's my sister? Now I might have taken her as my wife. Now therefore, here is your wife. Take her and go your way. So Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away with his wife and all that he had. Hallelujah. This is Abraham. When Abraham,
there was a famine in the land, Abraham went to Egypt.
Abraham feared that
Sarah is very beautiful. Sarah is very beautiful. He says that
if I go into Egypt and they know that this is my wife, they may harm me because of her. Wow. What a blessing it is that a man is feared for his life because of his wife's beauty. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Because of his wife's beauty, he's fearing for his life.
And you see that, so when he went into Egypt, the Egyptians saw Miriam that this woman is really pretty. Now, the Bible says Abraham was 75 years, and Abraham is 10 years older than Sarah. So that means that Sarah was 65 years. I don't know about a 65-year-old woman. 65-year-old woman. That the whole Pharaoh of Egypt acknowledges her beauty. The Pharaoh of Egypt acknowledges her beauty and takes her as his wife. The Bible says that God, he plagued Pharaoh in his house. We don't know exactly what God brought upon the house of Pharaoh. The Bible says God plagued Pharaoh in his house. God plagued Pharaoh in his house. So you see that God was defending marriage. God was defending Abraham's marriage. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God was defending Abraham's marriage. Now this made me understand something. When it comes to kingdom marriages, especially kingdom marriages, God is very, 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 very protective of kingdom marriages. Bible says that what God has brought together, let no man bring asunder. God is very intentional about kingdom marriages. I realize that the only person or the only people that can break that is not external people. No. The only people that can break kingdom marriages is not external people. It's the people in the marriage. So we see this thing. What happens to the house of Pharaoh? Because Abraham was afraid. He was scared. And that's what he did. Let's look at Genesis chapter 20, verse 3. Genesis chapter 20, verse 3. You get a riff of something. Bible says, but God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, indeed you are a dead man because of the woman whom you have taken, for she is a man's wife. Now, Bible says, Abraham journeyed, that's verse 1, 20 verse 1. Abraham journeyed from there to the south and dwelt between Kadesh and Shur and stayed in Gerar. Now, Abraham said of his wife, she's my sister. And Abimelech the king sent and took Sarah because she was very pretty. Now, the first time that happened, Abraham was 75 years, meaning Sarah was 65 years. Now, this Abraham is 99 years, meaning Sarah is 88 years. An 88-year-old woman. How beautiful can an 88-year-old woman be? Hallelujah. And God visits Abimelech in a dream and tells him that you are a dead man. You are a dead man. In other words, get your things together. You are dead. Not that you are about to die. You are a dead man. Why? It's because you're taking someone's wife. And Abimelech said that in verse 4. He said, Abimelech had not come near him. And he said, Lord, will you slay a righteous nation also? Did he not say to me, she is my sister? She even herself said, he is my brother. In integrity of my heart and innocence of my hands, I have done this. The verse 6. And God said to him in a dream, yes, I know that you have done this in the integrity of your heart. For I also withheld you from sinning against me. Therefore, I do not let you touch her. Wow. Now God is saying that with the people outside the marriage, God said that he did not let him touch her. We don't know how long that she had been in the house of Abimelech. He said God did not permit him to touch her. That means external people outside the marriage can't come in. So now imagine if Sarah herself went to Abimelech. What could God have done? But when it came to the external attacks, it couldn't happen. That's why a lot of marriages, the devil is fighting the individuals. He brings situations for the individuals to break. So then financial situations come. And then things come up. Childbearing becomes an issue. And until the people inside break, it can't be okay. They can't say that, oh, the mother of the groom, the mother of the man came and said, oh, she doesn't like the marriage, so the marriage should be annulled. It can't happen. But it has to happen from the inside. It has to happen from the inside. And so God is saying that from the external, I protected you. I withheld you from sinning against me. Therefore, I did not let you touch a institution called marriage. God protects it. On this journey that you have initiated with God, God will protect you. God will protect you. God was willing to kill Abimelech, kill him. He had punished his whole house. It was different for Pharaoh. He had punished his whole house. That nobody in his house could take seed again. That if you look at it and think it is his castle. No, he had punished the whole land. The whole land. That's punished the whole land. And nobody could take child again. Because the king, Abimelech, had taken someone's wife. Hallelujah. God protects us on this journey. God protects us on this journey. It gives me a whole new appreciation for the institution of marriage. God takes it very seriously. And he protects it. Takes it very seriously. He protects it. The only distraction that can only come from within. Can only come from within. Hallelujah. 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 Let's look at the second thing. So God works on our mindset. In this journey, God is working on our mindset. Are we together? God is working on our mindset. Our mindset. God is working on our mindsets. Let's look at Genesis chapter 13. Masido Shada Libra Damba Sande. Genesis chapter 13. Libanda Zonde Libisha. Rindis Caprando Shadili Padihanda Lababa. Verse 14 to 18. I'm reading it, Genesis chapter 13, verse 14 to 18. It says, and the Lord said to Abraham, after Lot had separated from him, lift up your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward, for all the land which you see, I give to you and your descendants, and I'll make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants could be numbered. Arise and walk in the land through its length and width, for I give it to you. Verse 18, and Abraham dwelt by the terebinth trees of Mamre, which are in Hebron, and built an altar there to the Lord. After God had told him this, giving the promise at the initiation of the journey, when they began the journey, God comes to him after Lord had separated, after Lord had left, and God reiterates that promise again. Reiterates that promise. Let's look at Genesis. And it's an interesting thing. God says, arise in the verse 17. It says, arise and walk in the land through its length and width, for I give it to you. For I give it to you. There are people dwelling in the land. There were places in the land. There were kingdoms in the land. God said, arise and walk. Walk through the land. Walk through it. Because I give it to you. What sort of thing is that? What is God trying to do in Abraham? God was changing his mindset. God was changing his mindset. I don't want you to see yourself as small. Walk through the land. Walk through your property. Walk through it. It's yours. I've given it to you. Walk through it. The heavens are mine. The earth is mine. Walk through it. Walk through the land. I've given it to you. Walk through it. I've given it to you. He didn't have it. Abraham didn't have it. Let's be real. Abraham didn't have it. He couldn't just move anywhere. The Lord told him to move. Where is sitting in another place? Make that place yours. That's what God told him to do. Then a journey, sometimes God can tell us to do some things. It's the same thing that he told you. He called you, I've called you to be a prophet to the nations. And then you have seen that nobody's even speaking, nobody's even requesting you, nobody's even really listening to you. But God is still saying you are a prophet. You are a prophet. You are a prophet. You are looking at your surroundings and seeing all these things, and nothing seems to be aligning to the word of God. But God is still saying you are a prophet. You are a prophet. You are a prophet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's go. I'm building a point. Genesis chapter 15. Genesis 15. Shadoli Bradina. Verse 18 to 21. Let me read it. verse 18 to 21. On the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, to your descendants, I have given this land from the river Egypt, or the river of Egypt, to the great river, the river Euphrates, the Kenites, the Kezenites, the Kadmonites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Raphim, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Gerashites, and the Jebusites. He's telling him again the things he has given him. And he's mentioning this place settlement or the land that they are occupying. He says, I've given it to you. Why is he telling him again? Why is he reiterating the promise? Reiterating the promise. Let's look at Genesis chapter 17. Chapter 17, verse 1 to 9. So when Abraham was 99 years old, God gave him the promise when he was 75. 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said to him, I am Almighty God, walk before me and be blameless, and I will make my covenant between me and you, and I will multiply you exceedingly. Then Abraham fell on his face and talked with God. As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abraham, but your name shall be called Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you. And kings shall come from you, and I'll establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. Also, I give you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is the thing that God tells Abraham. All the activities were experienced from 75 years to 99 years. He reiterated it went to Abraham for 24 years. My goodness, for 24 years. You see, God reiterated his word about 3 times to Abraham for 24 years. He said it when Abraham took the journey. For all Abraham knew, for all he knew, maybe he thought that once God has said it, it is going to happen in the next few 5 years. But it took 24 years. 24 years. And God is reiterating his word at every checkpoint, at every place, every time. God is reiterating his word. When God meets him, he tells him the same thing he told him in the start. Gives him the same promises he told him in the start. Why? Because the Bible makes us understand that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans chapter 10 verse 17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. God was changing Abraham's mindset. He wanted him to see himself as the owner of the land. So he keeps telling him at every juncture. He keeps telling him. He reiterates his word. He refreshes the word. Hallelujah. Refreshes it in his mind. Oh, Abraham, in case you have forgotten, I'm giving you the land. Your descendants are going to be great. In case you have forgotten, I'm giving you the land. Your descendants are going to be great. Your descendants are going to be numerous. He was still childless. He was still childless. In those 24 years of reiteration, Abraham was still childless. Yours has not taken more than 25 years. Let God reiterate his word. Let God confirm his word to you. Yeah, you heard it in a dream. The prophet has come and has spoken it. When we come to the school of the spirit, we prophesy it again. Then you hear it in your spirit. Then a friend mentions it. Then you watch it in a movie. All the things God told you. Oh, I make you a prophet. Establish you as a prophet, but nothing around you seems like that thing is ever true. God comes to reiterate his word. Can you imagine God reiterates this word about 3 or 4 times in the life of Abraham for the 24 years? 24 years, God reiterates his word like 4 times. Now look at how blessed we are that even in the space of 5 years, or in the space of 3 years, God can reiterate his word, reiterate it, and reiterate it. Because God is building faith in you.
Hallelujah. The Bible,
in this time where the world and everything is set to drain faith from us, God reiterates his word so many times to us to build our faith. Can you imagine the kind of faith Abraham would have had if every year he was hearing from God? For the 24 years, we see in scripture 24 records of times where God has reiterated his word to him. Imagine the kind of faith that would be built in Abraham. It may have not even lasted for 24 years because his faith would have been built quickly. Hallelujah. But that was Abraham's journey. We are on our own journey, and God is reiterating his word to us. Why? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Raton, Sianda Zanda Lababa, Likando Zibra Itane, Zala Katu Jade Ampratanda, Ikando Zala Katandi Libashanda. Let's jump to the New Testament, Romans chapter 12, verse 2. A very popular scripture, Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Bible says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God." The verse 3 says, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." A measure of faith. So you realize that this reiteration that God gives you time after time, God reiterates so many times in this place. We've given prophecies to that, the members of the school of the Spirit, we give you prophecies. We've told you and told you and told you, and sometimes it is confirmed in another way. The prophecy comes in another way, and sometimes we forget the prophecies, but we trust that you have written it down and you remember these prophecies. And God is reiterating it just in case you have forgotten. God is reiterating it to you. The Paul is making us understand that it is so that we humble, so that we can be humble. Renew your mind so that you prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So for I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone among you, not to think of themselves as highly as he thought he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. The renewal of your mind produces faith in you. And Paul is saying that with that faith, be humble towards each other. In other words, don't think of yourself highly against each other. In other words, understand that your journey of faith, like when more faith is added to you, understand that another person is also on his journey of faith. He may not be on the same level as you, but humble yourself to him. But humble yourself to him. God has given you more faith, and you look at someone with less faith. Don't judge the person, because 2 years ago you were at the person's level. By the renewing of your mind, by the hearing of the word of God, by his confirmation, you have increased in faith. Don't judge someone who doesn't have faith. That's what Paul is saying. Hallelujah. God reiterates his word. God keeps reiterating his word. God keeps telling you, "I've made you a prophet," or you are wealthy. "I've made you a wealthy man," because he's trying to change your mindset. You are broke. Yes, you are broke, but he wants you to see that you are a millionaire. He wants you to see that you're a billionaire. He wants you to see that you're a kingdom financier. Fund the kingdom with that little you have. Yes, it's $2. Fund the kingdom. Fund the kingdom is still the same faith. The same faith that will take you $2 to fund the kingdom is the same faith that will take you with $20 million to fund the kingdom. Still fund the kingdom. Maybe a prophet, you give a word of knowledge and the person says it's wrong. Still give that word of knowledge. Go back to God and go, "I thought you said you've given me the gift of prophecy. I thought you said you've put your words in my lips." And God doesn't come back to say, that was a mistake. No, he doesn't come back to say that. He comes back to say the same thing he said to you in the beginning. "I've made you a prophet. I've made you this, a priest. I've lifted you. I've made you in your family. I've made you a head." And now everybody's looking down on you and your family. Like you will not amount to anything. Like you will not come out of anything. Like you will not achieve anything. When you cry out to God, "Oh God, Is this what you told me? Is this what you meant when you set me on this journey? And God's response to you is the same thing he told you. I've made you a prophet. I've made you a head of the family. I'll lift you up. I've made you wealthy. I'll set you on high places. I'll favor you. The same thing. Why? Because God wants us to change our mindset. When our mindset is changed, you see that the blessing comes. Hallelujah. Let's move on. The next thing is that God reveals his nature. Indeed, God reveals his nature. Last week, I ministered on encountering God. I said that everybody who encounters God, God reveals a certain aspect of himself to them. And so they reveal that aspect of God to us. Read through scripture. There are people's experiences. It's not God just talking with himself, God interacting with himself. It's men who have encountered God. They wrote what they encountered. And so we know about God based on their experiences. Hallelujah. And so in this journey of faith, this walk of faith that you and I are on, God is going to reveal his nature to us. What he may reveal to me is not the same thing that he may reveal to you. He has done it so that nobody in their own self can rely on their own self. No, God is too vast to reveal himself to each of us at the same pace. He's too vast. So everybody's experience with God is so unique to their journey. Hallelujah. So unique to their journey. God is revealing his nature in this journey. What Jemima will experience about God is not the same thing I'll experience about God. No, so she come and share her experience about God with me. I'm like, wow, so God is also like that. And I'll share my experience with him about God. And she's like, wow, God did this in your life. So my God can also do this. Diana will share her experience with Halit. And their experiences will not be the same. It will be so unique to each and every one of them. We'll share with among ourselves. And their experiences are different. But it's still the same God. So amazing. Still the same God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We get to see his nature in our journey. In the walk of faith, we get to see God's nature. God the way he is. We get to understand him better. Hallelujah. The things we thought about God, we get to either confirm or debunk them. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 18, verse 22. I'm going to read it. It says, then the men turned away from there and went towards Sodom, but Abraham stood before the Lord. And Abraham came near and said, would you also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there were 50 within the city. Would you also destroy the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous that were in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing as this, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous should be as the wicked. Far be it from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? So the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I'll spare all the place for their sakes. Then Abraham answered and said, indeed now, I who am but dust and ashes, I've taken it upon myself to speak to the Lord. Suppose there were five less than 50 righteous. That's 45. Would you destroy all the city for the lack of five? So he said, if I find 45, I will not destroy. And he spoke to him yet again. Suppose there should be 40 found there. So he said, I will not do it for the sake of 40. Then he said, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Suppose there 30 should be found there. So he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And he said, indeed, now I have taken it upon myself to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20 should be found there. So he said, I will not destroy for the sake of 20. Then he said, Abraham, let not the Lord be angry, and I'll speak but once more. Suppose 10 should be found. And he said, I will not destroy it for the sake of 10. So the Lord went his way as soon as he had finished speaking with Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place. We see this interesting interaction. After God had appeared to Abraham, Working with three men, Abraham had invited him to his tent, giving him food, served him, and he had promised Abraham that next year by this time I will visit Sarah and she'll be pregnant. When they were going along their way, God said she wouldn't hide a thing from Abraham. So he told Abraham this, he revealed the secret that he was going to do. He's going to destroy, he's going to see what is happening in the land of Sodom. And he's going to destroy the place. And the Bible said that Abraham spoke to the Lord. Said, oh God, if there are 50 people there, are you going to destroy the land because of 50 people? Oh Lord, you are the judge of the whole earth. Do right. That was the first interaction. Do right. Oh, you can't do this. Like, don't let it be said of you that the judge of the world did this. That 50 people were in the land. It's because of because of the sin of the land, he slew all the 50 with the wicked. And God said that, oh, I will not do that. In fact, I will not do that. So Abraham realizes that he himself Abraham will not do that. Because he said, let it be far away from you. So he himself Abraham will not do that. So he asks the Lord, and realizes that God soon will not do that. God is reasonable. Wow, this God that has been speaking to me is reasonable. Wow. Okay, then he decides to push a little. God, will you destroy the land if there are 40 people? God says, no, I wouldn't do it. Okay. I mean, 40 is quite a number. Okay, will you destroy if there are 30 people? God says, no, I will not destroy the whole land if there are 30 righteous people. Wow. I mean, I can draw the line there. So, will you destroy it if there are 20 people? God says, no, I will not destroy the land if there are 20 people. Wow. He will not destroy the land of maybe 1 million people because 20 people are righteous. This is interesting. Lord, what if there are 10 people? Just 10 people. God said, I will not destroy the land if there are only 10 people. So he realizes that this God that he has been interacting with, this God that he has been speaking to him, this God is a merciful God. Not just reasonable, he's merciful. Because reason ends at 50. Reason ends at 50. The king, if a king is attacking a land, he's not attacking, he's attacking the land because the other king has provoked him. For the sin of that one king, for the word of that one king, he's going to attack the whole, kill, slaughter, destroy, break things down, for the sake of the one person's sin. For the sake of the one person's sin. Or maybe the other king's court has retaliated, has rebelled. He goes to destroy the whole land for the sake of that small sect of people now leading the place. Why doesn't he go and attack the 50? And we see this difference between the earthly kings and God. Abraham sees that God has come and he is a merciful God. He will not destroy 10,000 people. 10,000 wicked, very wicked people. And we see the kind of wickedness these people were when the angels went there. They wanted the angels to sleep with. And the breaking Lord's door. How wicked and perverse these people were. And God said that if there are 10 people in that town, I will leave it alone. Wow. Wow. Sometimes you see areas with so much wickedness, things with so much wickedness. Now, wondering why doesn't this structure fall? Why doesn't God intervene? Why doesn't God do this? Because there are righteous people in there. There are righteous people in there. You see a business that is doing so much wickedness. They are selling drugs and doing some things that are very, 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 very ridiculous and bad. And one is that God can, with a snap of his finger, end that business. Collapse that business. Why? Because there are 10, at least 10, 10 workers spread around the world. 10 workers, just 10 workers in that business. And because of that, God's mercy is extended. That day, Abraham saw God as a merciful God. And we see the mercy of God go to Sodom. The mercy of God dragged Lot out of Sodom. And the angels gave Lot an instruction, go to the mountain, because the place will be destroyed. And Lot said, oh, you know what? To go to the mountain will be cumbersome. We are running to this small town called Zoar. And the angel said, because you are going there, I will not destroy that town. Because Lot and his family were in that town, that town didn't see the destruction that Sodom and Gomorrah felt. God came in his mercy. God was not annoyed that Abraham was talking with him. Anybody in authority may be annoyed with this thing. I just told you, why are you prying? I just told you, why do you keep asking me these questions? Abraham knew that even this thing that he's doing is very dangerous. So he said, oh, permit me to speak. May the Lord not be angry with me. Permit me to see once more. Permit me to speak. God is not annoyed with your questions. God is not annoyed. That's one thing I've learned. God is not annoyed. Even with the silly questions, God is not annoyed. He rather you ask them than you burden yourself in thoughts with them. He rather you ask them. Ask him, God, why? Look at the situation that I'm going on now. See what is happening. It's not in line with what you said. Lord, why are these people treating me this way? Ask him. Lord, why? Lord, why have you permitted this to happen to me? The African religion scene is we have been taught to reverence God. Yeah. We've been taught to reverence God. And even in the African narrative, you don't question an elder. Someone who is older than you, don't question. So we have a notion that the adult is always right. Even when the adult is very foolish and the child is speaking with even a little wisdom, because he's older, we don't see that the child is right. That's what happens. And so with our worship and our fellowship and our religion and how we interact with deity, we have that kind of culture inculcated in there. And so we have so much reverence for God that even when someone is going through something, you dare not ask God why. That kind of thing. You dare not ask God why. Why you ask God? Hey, keep hearing yourself. Don't talk to God like that. But trust me, God wants to hear the annoying questions. You think it's annoying? Ask God. Ask God. Of this journey with him. He has led you to a dark place. Lord, why is it that? But who are these people? Or what do they want? Lord, why me? Ask God these questions. He wasn't angry with Abraham. Then Abraham kept asking him, so Lord, what of 50? What of 45? What of 40? What of 30? What of 20? God was not angry. God stood there, waited for Abraham to exhaust all his exhaustions, and then before he left. Hallelujah. God is not bored. God is not annoyed with your questions. Ask God the question. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's look at the last one and we'll be done. God works on our character. God works on our character. In this journey, as we journey with God, he works on our character. Hey, hallelujah. He works on our character. Genesis chapter 16, verse 6 to 9. Redosha abradana itandi legedi anto. Kazi liba shonda libranda zanta. Genesis chapter 16. Kalindo zalanda shandala baba rindo salia. Kimbarando shandala baba. So Abraham said to Sarah, indeed, your maid is in your hand. Do to her as you please. And when Sarah dealt harshly with her, she fled from the presence. She fled from her presence. Now the angel of the Lord, verse 7, now the angel of the Lord found her by the spring of water in the wilderness, by the spring to the way, star. And he said, Hagar, Sarah's maid, where have you come from and where are you going? She said, I'm fleeing from the presence of my mistress Sarai. The angel of the Lord said to her, return to your mistress and submit yourself under her hand. Wow, this is interesting. The backstory to this is that when Sarah couldn't give Abraham a child, she gave him her servant Hagar. And Hagar became, she was with child.
Hagar became pregnant.
And when Hagar became pregnant, she started to despise Sarah. That kind of thing where, what couldn't you have done for your husband? And so I think she lifted up her shoulders, she became proud and, you know, became, hey, now I'm now the mother, I'm now the mistress.
Yeah.
Like I'm taking your place, sort of. And so Sarah goes to Abraham and complains, like, the woman that you've impregnated, see what she's doing to me. And Abraham reminds her that you are the woman of the house. As much as she's pregnant, you are the woman of the house. She is your servant. You can do to her as you please. And so Sarah decides that I'll do her wicked. I'll be very wicked to her. And she says she treated her harsh. She treated her harsh. And this woman fled. She left there. She ran away from home. She ran away because of the kind of treatment she was getting out of. Now the angel meets her in the wilderness. And the angel asks her that, where have you come from? Where are you going?
He said, I fled from the house of my mistress, sir.
The angel asks her to go back. This is the, like, what was the meaning of that? Go back and submit yourself. What? Go back and humble yourself.
Why would you, do you know how they are treating me?
What sort of question is, what was, why would you do this to me? Go back and submit yourself to Sarah. And the angel gives her this promise that I'll bless your descendants. I'll bless your descendants. And she named the God who spoke with her, Jehovah Elroy.
Sarah, Hagar goes back. She actually goes back.
I believe she did what the angel said. She humbled herself. We see God working on her character. God working on her character in the place where she was proud, in the place where she developed pride. God told her to humble herself. God didn't take away the harsh treatment. I believe when she went back to Sarah hooted at her, you've come back. You've run, but you've come back. It's not here that you come back to. I believe that it didn't change the way she treated her. She was still harsh. But this time, something had changed in Hagar. Hagar submitted.
Maybe first, when Sarah did it, she retaliated, I won't take this. I'm pregnant. Well, how can you do this to me? I'm pregnant with your husband's baby. How can you do this to me?
But now, it's changed. A change has happened.
Why? Because in this journey, God works on our character. You wonder why there are some things going on in your office, in your house, and you are praying to God, God, take away this thing, take away this person. And God is saying, no.
Lord, why are they treating me like this? They are treating me bad. I'm a believer. I believe. Lord, cast my enemies. Lord, do it. And God is saying, no. You know, rather you keep quiet. Lord, are you saying I shouldn't retaliate?
I shouldn't fight back? I shouldn't say anything? God is saying, no. Be silent. Don't fight back.
Don't say anything. Why? Because he's working on our character. Is working on our character. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is working on our character. Let's look at something interesting. Genesis chapter 21, verse 12. 21, verse 12. But God said to Abraham, do not let it be displeasing in your sight because of the lad or because of your bondwoman. Whatever Sarah has said to you, listen to her voice. For in Isaac your seed shall be called. Yet I will also make a nation of the son of the bond woman because he is your seed. So Abraham rose early in the morning and took bread and a skin of water and put it on her shoulder. He gave it and the boy to Hagar and sent her away. Then she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. Something interesting. When Isaac was born, Isaac was weaned, Sarah realized that Ishmael began to look at Isaac with contempt. The verse 9 of Genesis chapter 21 says, and Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, whom she had born to Abraham, scoffing. She saw him scoffing at Isaac.
And so she decided, no, these people can't stay. Now I have my baby, they should go.
And Abraham was this.
He was displeased with Egypt. But God told him that, listen to your wife.
Listen to your wife and send her away. So Abraham sent the woman away. Realize that when, so take it from Hagar's perspective.
When these people did it to me, God said I should come and submit.
Now we are at a position where we can do it to them. God has sent me away.
It seems almost unfair. Now, why would God do that?
When he was in a place where she had the right to stop, God said she should submit.
But now they got into a place.
They got into a place where it's not a scoping at
They sat there.
When she ran away, God said she should come back. And now they are sucking him.
Now they are sucking. Look at it from Hagar's perspective.
This is so unfair, but it is character development. So unfair, but it's character development.
Character development. God developed a character.
God developed a character. He's showing us in this journey of faith, he's developing a character. Developing a character. He's developing a character.
Why? Because the promise requires that a character.
The promise requires that character. Why will God say you should stay in a harsh environment? Why will God say you should keep quiet when they are treating you bad? Why will God say that? You may not really fully grasp that until what that thing does in you is complete. And maybe in future you realize why God made you deal with that.
Hallelujah.
We pray for each and every one of us that will humble ourselves, the character development of this journey. Of this journey that we are on. We'll humble ourselves to the character development in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Let's look at the final one, final character development in Genesis chapter 14. Genesis chapter 14. 14 verse 21. Genesis chapter 14 verse 21. Now the king of Sodom said to Abraham, give me the persons and take the goods for yourself. But Abraham said to the king of Sodom, I have raised my hand to the Lord God Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will take nothing from a thread to a sandal strap, that I will not take anything that is yours, lest you should say I have made Abraham rich, except only what the young men have eaten and the portion of the men who went with me. Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre, let them take their portion.
This is Abraham. After the five kings had attacked Sodom, taking Lot, captured Lot and his family, and sacked Sodom and Gomorrah, taking everything. Now Abraham, when he heard of it, he raised them 318 men in his house, gave them weapons, trained men, and they went after the kings. They took everything. They destroyed them, completely destroyed them, took everything and came back. And he came back. The king of Sodom said that, you know what? They were defeated. I know we're defeated. You give us our people back. Don't take our people as slaves. And you take the goods, take the silver, the gold, take the cattle, take everything. We'll rebuild. Abraham said something. He said that, I have raised my hand to the Lord God Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will take nothing from a thread to a sandal strap, and that I will not take anything that is yours, so that you will say that you are the one who made me rich, so that anyone can say that, it's this Abraham, the way he's rich is because he took this, or because this happened.
So that raised my hands.
That's a very interesting thing. What sort of character development did he have? God had built his character to depend on him. God had trained Abraham to depend on him. Because the things were very great. We always say that he paid a tenth to the king of Salem, Melchizedek, who gave him bread and wine. He gave a tenth. So before anybody shared anything, Abraham gave a tenth of everything. He paid tithe to Melchizedek. He paid a tithe to Melchizedek. And he decided, I will not touch what's the rest. Let the men share what they will take. Because when men go to battle, they share the spoils. They share the spoils. So let the people that I came with, the people who partnered with me, let them take their share. As for my share, I won't take anything. Why? Because I recognize God as my source. God as the one who blessed me. And if I will be rich, then I will be rich by God. No man should be able to claim your prosperity. No man should be able to beat their chest and say, oh, what she is today, I made her. Or what he is today, I made him. The journey of faith that you are on, it is the Lord that will do it. And God has trained Abraham to recognize that he is his source. Hallelujah. Let's look at something in the Genesis chapter 15, verse 1.
Hi, so interesting, so wonderful, so amazing.
In the Genesis chapter 15, verse 1, Bible says that after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. Hey, this is what God said. Do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. Abraham recognized that his reward for this journey of faith is not the cattle, it's not the gold, it's not the blessing. His reward is God. His reward is God. This journey of faith. What at the end of the journey, what we are receiving as our reward is God. He is giving us himself as our reward. Can you imagine? His reward, the reward over your life in this journey of faith, is not that you be a prophet. It's not that you heal the sick or raise the dead or the works of the miraculous. It's not that you have money and be wealthy and be a kingdom financier. No, that is a blessing that is associated with the journey. But the reward for the journey is God. The reward for the journey is God. It's when you meet him in heaven. Well done, you good and faithful servant. Enter my rest. The reward is God. The reward is not on earth. The reward is God. The reward is God. He has given us himself as a reward. And that is the reward we should seek after. The Lord. He is our reward. He is our great and exceedingly great reward. The cattle will run out. The cattle may die or you may eat it. But he is a exceedingly great reward. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For this journey, your reward is God. Our reward is God. For this journey of faith, all the things you are going through, it's not that so that somebody will say, hey, now she's a prophetess or she has stepped into her office. No. It's not that people will say, oh, he is my spiritual father. He raised me in the Lord. No. That's not the reward of this faith. This faith walk. That can't be why you've gone through all this. No. All the seeds you have sown, it's not that so that you can become a billionaire. No. Don't look so shallow. No. All the things you did, all the things you denied yourself, all the fasting, it's not that so that you become it's not that so that you become a sign and a wonder on the earth. No. That's no why. That is associated to the journey. It will come in its season. But your reward is God. My mother's time. Campus Church, we broke the Campus Church to establish a new branch of campus in the town of campus. And when we did that, I had the privilege to serve as one of the executives in the Campus Church. And because it was a new church, we didn't have all the facilities right. We didn't have everything. And so we had to squeeze a little. We didn't have everything right. We didn't have everything. So the executive board, we had to really give a lot. Yeah, we had to really give a lot. And people didn't know this. But we really did give the pulpit for the church. We bought it with our own money. We all contributed and bought it. Bought it with our own money. A lot of things that we didn't really want to touch the church carpet because we knew that as we are in a growing church, we just started, we wanted to build a church complex. So a lot of things came from our personal, our money. We're students. So what our parents had given us, what we use for food and things, we had to sow it into the church. And we did. I remember this time that I was there. One day I was just there and the Lord told me that the phone you have, give it to the church.
as a seed, sow it as a seed to the church. Let them use it for their mobile money, offering, and their stuff. I was like, God, why? it was a huge blow. I had to die to the phone. That's how I felt. God, I had to die. I had to hate the phone. That's how I felt. I had to hate that, you know, you are with me. It's wrong that you are with me. Go and be with the Lord. And I really like that. Because the phone I was using before that was bad. And I had gotten this as a gift from a friend. Remember that morning I just didn't want to even talk to him. I just went to the financial secretary and I said, hey, use this for the church mobile money account. And there was this day where the president came. The chairs we were sitting on as executives were not so good, were not so strong. And I remember that mine in particular was so uncomfortable, very uncomfortable for me. The chair I was using in particular it didn't even have the armrest. So it was very, very uncomfortable for me. So when he said that we are buying our own chairs, everybody should buy their own chair, I was one of the first people to pay. Because I was like, okay, this will help. So I paid it. It was quite a lot of money then. I did so. And for a funny reason, since we had acquired the chairs, for a funny reason, we always had a guest minister or something, or someone visiting or something. And I had to give up my own. For some funny reason, I had to give up my chair. And I would use the old one. And one day I just stood behind the auditorium. I was like, what was the meaning of that? I paid it. I want to sit on the chair. I've paid it. I want to sit on the chair. And God asked me a question that should the comfort of the chair be your reward? And I said, never, Lord, never. This cannot be my reward. This cannot be my reward. So should the comfort of the chair, should the comfort of that chair be your reward? I said, Lord, never. That can never be my reward. That can never be my reward. So I took it as I have sown it into the guest speaker, the visitor, I've sown it into their life. They should have the comfort that I should have had. They should have it. That can't be my reward. My reward can't be the comfort of the chair. No. Reward is God. My reward is God. I only sat on that chair like two times. It was a special program. I sat on the chair twice. My whole time as an executive, I sat on the chair twice, the chair that I paid for. And I was watching my other executives, they sit on their own. God asked me, is that your reward? No, that can never be my reward. Watch and see what the Lord does in my life. Watch and see. The chair was not my reward. Watch and see what the Lord does in my life. Hallelujah. 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 The final destination is not the blessing. The final destination is not the blessing. The final destination is an understanding of God. Abraham's journey didn't end when he had Isaac. No. When he had Isaac, Abraham's journey didn't end. His faith, his journey of faith didn't end. That was not the climax of his story. No, it didn't end there when he had Isaac. So you see that the blessing was not the destination. God is not leading you to the place where then you have become a major prophet in this earth. No, he's not leading you to the place where you are the bishop of so many churches. No, he's not leading you to a place where, come on, where you are a business owner, multinational business owner, that you can fund every major move of God in this earth. That is not the destination. The destination is an understanding of God. Let's look at Genesis chapter 22. Zeta shandala babando sketelemata rimbindo rambande sibrado shatalababa. Genesis chapter 22 verse 11. It says, but the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, here I am. He said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God,
since you have not withheld your son, your only son from me. Your only son from me. This was a blessing. Isaac, the blessing. The blessing, the child of promise has come. And God requires that he sacrifices Isaac. And Abraham goes to do exactly that as the Lord has spoken. God didn't even say he should sacrifice Isaac in his backyard. He should travel. Travel. And go and sacrifice Isaac. He traveled. He went on the journey. Went to the place where to sacrifice Isaac. He fixed the altar. He laid the sticks. He put Isaac down there. He was going to do it. And the Lord stopped him. He said, for now I know that you fear God. Now I know that you fear God. Since you have not withheld your son, your only son from me. Now I know you fear me. 75 years ago in that story, Abraham would have never done that. At the start of the journey, and God told him that I'll make you a great nation. When the Lord told him, walk before me and be blameless, and I'll multiply your seed, Abraham would have never sacrificed his only son to God. For you know, at the time of the birth of Ishmael, he wouldn't have even sacrificed Ishmael. He wouldn't have even sacrificed Ishmael. But then the journey, the walk of faith, Abraham got to a place of understanding. Let's look at Hebrews. Let's look at Hebrews. You will understand more in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17. Let's look into the mind of Abraham more. What Abraham was thinking at that moment. So by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called, concluding that God was able to raise him even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. So Abraham, under he perceived God in that moment. Abraham perceived God that even if Isaac is to die and I burn him, God can raise him back from the dead. So he was going to do it. Such an understanding of God. Abraham had never seen God raise the dead before, but he believed that, oh, this God I've been working with, this God, when he says a thing, it will come to pass. So he has sacked Ishmael. Ishmael is not the son of your promise. It is Isaac. Lord, you said it is Isaac. It is Isaac. Now God comes and says that sacrifice that same Isaac. He goes, I'm ready to sacrifice Isaac. Once I know if I sacrifice Isaac, God can raise him up once God has said that he's the son of the promise. And so he was going to do it. And God said, stop. Now I know. Now I know that you fear me, because you've not withheld your only begotten son. God has shown him something. Abraham had an understanding. Oh, Abraham had an understanding. Abraham had an understanding. Oh, you know, God, I exposed these things to Abraham. So Abraham saw Christ on his cross. Abraham saw that, oh, God, I'm letting my son go, just as God is letting his son go. Abraham in that moment felt what God felt for us. An understanding of God. He had an understanding of God. Let's go to Genesis chapter 21. We'll be ending soon and we'll pray. Genesis chapter 21. So I hope you are learning something. I hope you are encouraged in this faith journey. Genesis chapter 21, verse 28. Amen. 28 to 30. And Abraham set 7 ewe lambs in the flock by themselves. Then Abimelech asked Abraham, what is the meaning of these 7 ewe lambs which you have set by themselves? And Abraham said, you will take these 7 ewe lambs from my hand, that they may be my witness that I have dug this well. Therefore he called the place Beersheba, because 2 of them swore an oath there. Abimelech came to Abraham and said, I have seen that the Lord is with you. So I showed you kindness when Abimelech gave him back his wife. He said, I've shown you kindness. And so you know what? Swear to me that you will not do anything to my descendants. Swear to me that, oh, the descendants of Abraham and Abimelech will not have an issue. You swear to me. And so they made a covenant there. And this is what Abraham did. This is an interesting thing. Abimelech himself didn't understand what Abraham was doing. So Abraham sent 7 ewe lambs by themselves. He let them go. And then Abimelech asked, what is this? And Abraham said that you will take these things. Take the 7 ewe lambs. Are we together? Are you there? Are you ready for this? Hallelujah. He said, you take these seven ewe lambs as a witness that I dug this well. As a witness that I dug this well. Hallelujah. Are we together? How did, what made Abraham set seven ewe lambs? Why? Who taught him that? Because of his faith journey, he had an understanding in God. Why seven ewe lambs as a witness? Because the seven spirits of God is a witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Abraham had an understanding after working with God so much, so far in his life. He had an understanding that for a witness, I will send forth seven. Hey, come on now. The difference between knowing God and knowing about God is the journey of faith, the journey of faith. It's a journey of faith. It's a journey of faith. This faith will be encouraged wherever you are. If you have an initiation where God has given you a word, you are so excited, you are moving out, be encouraged. If you are in a place of drought and darkness and doom and your soul is distraught within you, be encouraged. You are on this journey of faith. And God, if God is working on your character in a season where they are treating you harshly and he's saying, go back and submit yourself to that harsh treatment. If you are in a place where they are sucking you away, they are moving you away. Even when you have submitted yourself, be encouraged in this thing. God is teaching you something. God is birthing in you something. It's a journey of faith, and the reward is God. The reward is God. He's giving you himself as a reward. He's giving you himself as a reward. This walk of faith is so personal to you. It's so unique to every individual. So unique to every individual. I was listening to Apostle Kisiana, and he said, a father in the faith, one of his fathers in the faith had a vision, and he was going to heaven. He was going to heaven and approaching heaven's gates. He was approaching heaven's gates. And as he was going, approaching heaven's gates, he realized, he started saying, oh, I'm going to meet this man of God. I'm going to meet that man of God. I'm going to meet this woman of God that I've passed in the faith. I'm going to meet this person. I'm going to meet that person. I want to see how their houses are. I can imagine their houses will be so beautiful. I can imagine their apparel and where they are and their rank will be so beautiful. I can imagine. And Jesus was walking with a man, and Jesus told him that until you enter, you will never know who made it. Man is not the standard. Until you enter heaven, you will never know who made it into heaven. Man is not the standard. Hallelujah. Man is not the standard. This walk of faith is so unique. The only standard we have is Jesus. That's why he is our reward. Not Abraham, not Isaac, not Jacob. Jesus is our reward. He is our reward. Hallelujah. Take this as a word of confirmation. God is not lying. He did it for Abraham. He'll do it for you. And we are praying, Lord, encourage me in this journey of faith. May I be encouraged. Encourage us, oh God. Encourage us, oh God. Abraham at age 75 was not Abraham. At age 100, something had changed. Something was changed in him. He had a deeper understanding of God. When he was down, when he was destroyed, when everything seemed like, God is changing someone's name. What I mean is that he will ask you to start calling yourself what he has called you. I don't know what it is. He will ask you to start calling you, like add it to your name. When you're introducing yourself, introduce yourself in that name. He did it to Abraham. For 25 years, he had been promising Abraham descendants. He had been promising Abraham a nation. Abraham was childless. And in 1 year, God changed Abraham's name. Bear the disgrace of that name for 1 year. That's what he said. Be Abraham. Abraham means father of many nations. Abraham. He changed his wife's name. Just so that we are clear, change the wife's name. Just so that you know it is from this woman. Change her name to. Your name has changed to Sarah. What's the meaning of that?
Are we not disgraced? Are we not disgraced enough? You are changing our name, introducing his name as Abraham. And everybody who hears Abraham, but this guy is childless. What does he mean? He's childless. God says, bear that name. God is changing someone's name. You don't look like it, but God is saying that you are it. Who are you? Who am I speaking to? Our chief executive officer. Change your name. I'm Jemima, prophetess Jemima. Change your name. Pastor, now I don't have way. I don't have anything in my account. I don't have anything. I'm not even stepped out to that. But I'm Africa's biggest businessman.
It seems like a joke.
I'm Africa's biggest businessman.
I'm a king. I'm a queen.
Change your name.
For 24 years, God was conditioning Abraham. For 25 years, he had to get in line.
See what I see. Abraham claimed the name for a year. And a year after he had the promise. He claimed the name for a year. Bear the disgrace of the name for a year.
My first class student, look at that F. Look at that failed paper. I sound a professional in my head.
Tell your friends. Don't keep it to yourself. Tell your friends.
I see you. I'm a multi-billionaire.
I'm a billionaire. Jesus' name, amen. I pray for everyone listening. Part of your journey, whatever stage in the journey you are going to, may you be encouraged. Oh, indeed, he is a shield for us, an exceedingly great reward. Indeed, we will come out with this with a deeper understanding of our God, a deeper understanding that will set us apart. We'll come out with this with a deeper understanding. Oh, we value our journey of faith. It is my journey of faith. God. It's the most genuine of God. It's not anybody's journey. It's me, my own. We value our journey. It's what we'll talk. But I get to give it. What we reference is my journey of faith. Oh Lord, we give you glory, we give you praise. Thank you, Lord, for everyone listening. Thank you that you have induced us with strength. Thank you that where we are, that's where your strength is shown the most. In the name of Jesus. Amen.